What up, Whiskey Ginger fans? Welcome back to the show. If it's your first time joining us, welcome to the show. We got a good one for you today. I'm on my Steve Harvey right now. We got a good one for you today with Blake Griffin. If you want to know what's going on with me, go to AndrewSantino.com. We are going to be selling tickets for one show this year in Phoenix, December 12th. We're working on it. It's one date, I should say, three shows. It's going to be up ASAP, hopefully, by the time this comes out. We'll find out. It's crazy because of you-know-what is making its way, creeping across the country again, infecting everybody. But go to AndrewSantino.com to find out the information. Go to AndrewSantinoStore.com, AndrewSantinoStore.com to get the glasses, hats, shirts, everything you need. It's also in this bar down below on YouTube, the merch bar. It's easy. Click on one of those things if you want to buy something. Patreon.com/WhiskeyGingerPodcast is the extra content that we don't put up on here. I do Zooms with the top tier, Cheeto chats once a week. We're trying to do more stuff to infiltrate the Patreon webs to help out the people that help out this show. I'm excited. I'm excited for the future of the show. It's going to be a good next year. Please, please let us all stay healthy and safe and all that jazz. All right, on to the episode. Whiskey Ginger is supported by Squarespace. Guys, I've talked about this before. I've designed my site with Squarespace. It's incredibly easy. You can turn a cool idea into a new website, showcase work, publish content, blog, sell stuff, whatever you want to do. Squarespace is the best. It's the most efficient. It is the cleanest. It is the simplest. It has incredible customer support and so much more. They have beautiful templates that they've created for you, or you can make your own. And they have 200 extensions that you can use, and it's easy, right out of the box. Honestly, mobile is simple. It's easy to do at home, and there's nothing to patch or upgrade ever with 24/7 support. So like I've said, if you are looking to build a site or sell something, you know, if you're an entrepreneur of any kind, whether it's you're just putting out a word or putting out a product, you need to use Squarespace. It is the simplest, easiest, fastest, and most efficient way to create a site to get your name out to the people, my friend. I have supported them because we use them. I do really love them, man. So go over to squarespace.com/whiskey for a free trial. When you're ready to launch, use that offer code whiskey to get 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Again, squarespace.com/whiskey. Free trial, dude. Then use the offer code whiskey to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
In here, we pour whiskey.
You are that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy and ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey and $75 for the horse.
Gingers, oh hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
Ginger. I like gingers.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Whiskey Ginger. My guest today is one of my favorite people on earth. I say that for all my guests, but I mean it once again today. It's Blake Griffin. I have to do the other sound effect.
Thank you.
Blake, thank you so much for coming by. Yeah. I know you're a busy dude, and I know it's the NBA draft, and you're anxious because you might get drafted. So What team do you think you might want to get drafted to?
Honestly, man, at this point, it's been a lifelong dream. So whatever team, you know, is willing to take a shot on
me. You've been working really hard lately.
I have. And
you're a senior right now at Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And
redshirt senior.
Oh, you're a redshirt. Yeah, so 5 years.
Yeah.
So where do you think, and you're a small.
Well, I went to prep school after high school. So yeah,
okay.
I'm 25.
25.
Yeah.
And you're a small forward?
Yeah.
Small forward, Oklahoma. I mean, you could go anywhere. Where's the place that you wouldn't want to go?
I probably the Seattle Supersonics.
Sure.
Just mainly because it's not a team anymore. So it'd kind of be like I'd be in Seattle and it'd be like.
They're not a team, as in they're not like good competition anymore?
Yeah. They haven't won a game since 2008, I believe.
Garbage.
Yeah.
They just need to get Sean Kemp in the glove back, and I think they'll be fine.
People aren't talking about how bad they are. They've been since 2008, but.
But you want to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have been following the draft. It's draft week. Mm-hmm. It's pretty hype. I'm very excited to see what the next. I can't believe these next year rookies are already in NBA 2K. They put them in already?
Are they really?
Seriously. Well, somebody have Bleacher Report put something up that was like, I mean, they've already imposed their images.
So I'm sure they like did a thing where they had like everybody who's draft eligible.
Yeah.
And then like as soon as they got drafted, they just fed them in.
I think that's so, when I saw it, I was like, I wonder if the algorithms that they have to make, you know, the computer programmers are up for hours making the algorithm of what guy is in what jersey. And kind of like when a Super Bowl team doesn't win, they have to like send the hats to Africa. Like, what do they do with the algorithm? I want the I want the video game of the algorithm of the guys that didn't get drafted.
All the
undraftables. and have all those guys play. Yeah. I, that's the first thing when I saw it. I was like, I wonder what they have to make.
I mean, honestly, they could make. They could. They should make a G League 2K now.
That'd be so dope.
Like you play in the G League players. You like, you know, it's like my NBA 2 or whatever. And yeah. You're like on the bus or like you have to be on the
bus. You're taking the bus to go play in a game. No, it's real. Dude, we're making a joke.
Listen, my brother played in the G League. It's a grind. I have a lot of respect for those guys. It's a grind. You're busing the places.
How long was your brother in the G League for?
I think he played like a total of like 2 seasons.
That's a long time because most guys, they only stay in for like a season, if that, right? And then they end up either bailing or...
He went overseas.
Right.
So he was in the NBA for a couple of years with the Suns and then overseas and then G League overseas. And just got tired of being in like a different
bouncing
place
around.
Yeah.
Dude, there's not enough props, and we don't have to talk only sports because there's so much more depth to you and our friendship than sports. Comedy is probably the real part of it. But the one thing I do want to say is there's not enough props that gets given to minor league in baseball, G League,
practice
the web.com tour for golf. Yeah, it's like no one cares about, no one gives enough props to these people that because the worst guy in those leagues could beat the shit out of the best guy still that you know.
Yeah.
You know, like everyone's like, oh, there's a dude
in the
G League.
24-hour fitness that's like killing, you're like, he's the first pick every time.
Right.
That guy's getting smoked. By that guy.
He's getting smoked. That's always the thing people need to keep in mind. It's like, I knew when I was living in Arizona, I've talked about this 1,000 times, but I was living out there, so every year we would get a sloth, these young minor league ball players who were just like itching to try to break through because that's where all the ball is. And all of these baseball players, they all have the same intensity. A lot of them have a similar level of skill, right? Mm-hmm. It's just who gets through and who doesn't. To me, baseball is the weirdest because there's guys that are killer. They just don't have a place for them in the big leagues.
And what's crazy is everybody knows like, okay, A ball, double A, triple A, but like there's different levels of A ball.
Right.
There's like even, it goes even beyond that. And
right.
It's like, I had a friend's like brother was like trying to make it. And he's like, yeah, I'm in like, I can't remember what it's called, but it's like the second A ball.
Right. They're second tier or whatever it is. Yeah.
It's nuts, man. It's
there's not enough props given, but, I'm sick of the sports talk with you because it's not, you know, you have to talk about it all the time as a world champion tetherball player.
Yeah.
You were killer at tetherball when you were a kid.
Yeah, I was nice.
There's no doubt you were foursquare. Were you ridiculous at foursquare?
You know, I was more tetherball. You know, I was talking about this with a friend the other day. Remember wall ball?
100. I love wall ball.
Wall ball was like, I like dodgeball, wall ball, like, no, you didn't know.
Clean house.
You didn't want to see me. I was...
You don't want to see me a wall ball, son.
One of the best of all time, right? Kids at other schools heard about it.
So word got around.
Word got around.
Dude, I was tetherball, but like the best part about tetherball is all you need to do is learn how to angle a hit.
Yeah, it's all angles.
And then you ruin anyone. I mean, you watch their face get angrier because they can't jump high enough. Yeah. Oh, that makes me feel so good.
Yeah.
The perfect moment of it going right over their stupid head.
Making people feel shitty about themselves is one of my favorite things to do.
Me too. Oh, all right, well, explain to the fans. A lot of people don't know this. You're a professional basketball player. Who cares? That's not even a thing. Moreover, you're a lover of comedy. You're a performer of comedy. And people don't know that you are half brothers with Eric Griffin, another comedian.
Yeah.
That's your half brother.
Yeah. I'll get into that relationship a little bit later. It's tricky.
Okay.
There's some nuances.
Well, I don't want to step on toes. I think the irony is that a lot of people just think, oh, well, just because Blake is, you know, a mixed kid and Griffin is a mixed kid that, and their last name is Griffin, that they're brothers. And it's like, coincidentally, they are.
Yeah.
And I think that should be noted, you know?
Yeah. And, obviously he got, It's like I said, it's complicated.
He got the athletic genes.
Right. And then I got sort of the comedy genes. I just never got that shot. You know, like we said, it was a grind, but, you know, we sort of Freaky Friday'd it.
Mm-hmm.
It's worked out for both of us.
Sure. To some degree.
I actually was the one who came up with Riffin with Griffin, his podcast.
You came up with that name.
Yeah, I came up with it and he stole it from me.
I don't want to get in the middle of that.
Came into my room one night and read my journal and I had Riffin with Griffin. I had a list of podcast names. It was like Riffin with Griffin.
And this is going to be your podcast.
Blake's Takes, yeah.
Blake's Takes?
Yeah, Blake's Takes. Obviously, he had to go with the Griffin-themed ones.
Right. Because of the share of the name.
Because, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I'm a little offended to know that somebody that I love so much is thieving a name from you.
It's the first time I've actually ever talked about it publicly, but
proud of you for getting this far.
Yeah, it feels good to.
No, you feel good. That's nice, right?
Yeah.
You got to clear the air, dude. There's no other way to live than to clear the air. We met while we were clearing the air in Montreal. We were outside passing gas in between shows. Mm-hmm. And the number one thing I think that I remember from that was, you meet people for the first time and you have to hold your you have to take your reservations back and go, I want to learn who they are. I don't want to just assume. You know what I mean?
Let's hear.
My assumption was, here's this NBA guy that I like, that I've seen play, that I'm a fan of, that, I bet you he's a raging dick. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, I walk in. You couldn't have been more polite. You give me a hug. You do a double kiss on the cheek. I don't know if that's because you're kind of European, but you do kiss. And we sit down.
I curtsied.
You bowed. I was like, this guy. Yeah. No, I had no reservations about you. I was interested to know your depth of comedy because I learned so quickly that you loved comedy and that you were into it and you were performing comedy. And then I saw you and I was impressed, and I hate to say that because it really pains me to say that I was impressed. But I really was. It's annoying, really.
Here's my stance when it comes
good
to
good looking, tall, athlete, funny. Take a hike, pal.
Is there more?
That's it? That's all I got, dude. Right.
No, that was perfect.
Smart and sweet, lovable.
A little bit of sassy.
You are a sassy cat. You're easy to bring home to mom, that's for sure. I bet I could take you home to mom and dad and introduce you. They'd love you.
What are your parents' names?
Jeff and Maureen,
yeah.
Mo Money.
Me and Mo Money would hit it off. I know that. Jeff can be a little bit of a, he can be sort of a tough cookie to crack, but once you get it,
He is.
Yeah.
He can be a little bit of a dick. There's no doubt about it. And you know what it is, though? He doesn't mean it sometimes. He just says it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I love that about him.
He's forward about it.
Maureen's a sweetheart.
You know what's really funny about that? Growing up as a kid, the one thing that bonded my family I grew up in the Jordan era. Mm-hmm. We would sit, and this never happened, dude. We would have family dinners in front of the television.
My dad was so against that shit, watching TV during.
He's like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
But if we would watch Jordan, that was the only time that I was allowed to eat in the living room in front of the TV, and my dad would sit on the couch. But it was such a weird moment that I thought we were getting away with something.
Where'd you grow up?
Chicago.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. It was just watching Jordan as a kid in our city. It was like a family affair, but never again did we do that with sports. That was the only time that we ever were allowed to watch TV.
Here's my theory about Michael Jordan, greatest player of all time.
Fact.
That's actually not the theory. The theory is that society will never allow someone to be Michael Jordan again.
Oh, that's really interesting. You mean in basketball and sports, or you mean in general?
I think in sports. I don't know. I think I can speak to basketball better. Because we have these athletes, we have LeBron James, we have these guys, Kevin Durant, even Kobe earlier on,
R.I.P. man.
Yeah, R.I.P. obviously. We don't, and because our views and our social media and everybody's opinions is out there, and everybody, as soon as somebody has a bad game, so many people shit on them. Instead of just reading the paper, Michael Jordan had a bad game or whatever it was, so many people are just
ready to tear you down.
Tearing you down that I mean this from sort of just a societal view perspective. We're not going to hold anybody high enough to let them become this athlete that Michael
Jordan.
So
you think how they say that the video killed the radio star. You think social media killed the modern day superstar or whatever?
The GOAT. No, it didn't kill the superstar. It didn't kill the superstar. It killed the GOAT.
Killed the GOAT, the aspect of the GOAT.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. I think that applies to literally anything else. You take it to comedy the same way.
Yeah.
The first thing they wanted to do was rip down Chappelle for the last special.
Yeah.
You're like, what?
Yeah.
You're trying to cancel the guy for putting out a comedy special that you don't agree with?
Right.
I mean, it's kind of starts, you're right, it started heavily social media and athletes, musicians, performers, anybody live putting out shit, right away, it's like the level of criticism doesn't match the output, right? Mm-hmm. The output by the artist never can match the criticism. But for some reason, that gains some sort of resonance. For some reason, only, 16% of the world, is the world is on Twitter. But it feels like
that's like everybody.
And then everyone agrees.
Everybody.
Blake, you were the worst in this game. Oh, my God. It's like everyone everyone is conglomerately saying one thing.
I love when people get so mad at me and send me like a hate-filled tweet that's like about how I'm bad at 2K. Or like, I'm like, bro, I'm so sorry. I have zero control over how good I am.
And you
at
do,
2K.
And you know you do.
I know I do. I do a lot.
Do you have?
I dog it when I go in there for the.
Do you ever go back and forth with people like that?
No, not really. Sometimes
you shouldn't.
Like during the season, I don't really look at Twitter that much, or at least my mentions. I read Twitter to keep up with news.
Yeah.
In the off season, you have way more time. It's like it doesn't affect my mood as much because it's like not in. But like reading some of those messages are it's great.
See, sometimes if it's good, mean enough. I'll engage because I think it's funny.
Yeah.
It's got to be clever. You suck isn't clever.
See, you probably have. I think people, when they go at you, they know like, hey, I got to come with something funny, clever.
Right.
You know what I mean? When they come at me, it's just like, bro, you get your dunk rating up, bro. You lost me a game in 2K. And I'm just like, I don't care. Like that.
You almost want to write, are you okay, bud? Yeah. Is everything going okay, man?
You good?
Are you good, buddy?
How you doing?
Let's help you out. Is everything okay? Yeah, I think that, no, because we still get the same bullshit too.
Yeah, I'm sure you still get
but it. But it's also weird to me that like at this point in social media, I thought we'd be progressing where now I think people would know just saying you suck or you're a hack or I don't like you, that's almost like, I almost feel bad. Truly, I'm almost like, oh man, is that really? That's what you got online to say?
One time somebody said to me, like late in the game, like fourth quarter, I think we were up and he goes, Blake, you suck. And it was kind of quiet and I turned around. I was like, that was the best you had 3.5 quarters. You knew you were coming to the game tonight. Right. You knew you could have thought of something great. And that's what you came
You
with.
Suck. That's it. Although You Suck will come back in 20, 30 years. You Suck will be cool again. Right?
I mean,
you can't do it now.
It might get canceled.
Yeah, when you say You Suck.
Yeah,
it'd be great if a fan got canceled for yelling something at you. You're trash! Everyone's like, dude, get this guy's
Everybody
fired.
Finds it,
That's it. You lost your job, Daniel. What was the guy version of they were trying to start of Karen?
Remember? Oh,
What was it?
Oh, God. I know exactly.
Chad?
No. Chad is like the frat bro.
Is the bro. Chad's a bro. Karen's the bitch. And who's her husband?
Oh, I can't remember. I just saw it and I was actually like, you know what? Yeah.
It worked?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it is.
It was sweeping the interweb and I was like, oh, that it's almost like, but it's sad for people that have those names.
It does suck for a sweet lady named Karen.
Karen, yeah. I have lots of friends. My friend's mom's name is Karen.
Well, she's
she's a bitch.
I'm not even gonna lie. Let's go.
She said some really egregious stuff to me.
Yeah, she has.
She goes, I don't not like black people. I just don't want to know them. And I was like, Karen. My God!
I mean, have you ever tried to disguise it behind some like?
I just
trickery?
Don't need them near me as well. I think that's what she said.
She took a little. She tried to do a little double negative thing.
I think I said this on another pod, but I had been on a plane. I'm not kidding, and I was, and I always avoid saying comedian. Oh, or even like interacting at all with about comedy. If someone's like, "What do you do?" I say sales or marketing or whatever, and. You're able to do that too, right?
Yeah.
And this woman is like staring at me and I'm closing up my iPad and I was closing the windows and one of the windows on the iPad and I reopened it was
a video of you.
It was like a Chappelle. It was my special. Yeah, I was watching myself. Yeah. I was like taking notes on myself and I just wrote cool comments. Awesome guy. Funny boy. It was like Chappelle's special or something like that. And she saw and she goes, oh, comedy. Do you like comedy? And I said, I do like comedy. Avoiding any connection. And she goes, it's not as good now as it used to be. And I was like, here we go. One of these conversations. And I was like, no, yeah, you know, it's I think it's subjective. So, you know, it's kind of what you grew up with or what you love. And she goes, Bill Cosby was a good comedian. I said, he was a good comedian. And she goes, yeah, I don't like any of this stuff today. It's just a little gross and dirty. And I was like, I didn't want to get into it, but I was like, lady, you think it's too dirty today, but you're chill with Cosby.
That one's a tough one.
The amount of F words that they say is repulsive.
Yeah.
They can't be stand-up citizens. Yeah, it doesn't take away from Cosby's comedy, but it is so funny that like he was this moral high ground guy.
Yeah.
And the irony was staggering, but people still love, dude, people still people love him because generationally, like I loved Eddie Murphy. I don't know if kids now would think Eddie is funny. Because kids now probably just know him as like the Shrek guy.
Right.
Like how many how many young kids in their 20s, like late teens, early 20s.
Eddie Murphy's funny.
Unless they really are stand-up fans and they went back to watch old stand-up. Because he hasn't done anything in years.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, yeah. But like, I'm curious. If you set a young 20-year-old down and had them watch like Raw or like whatever it was.
Would they like it?
Would they like it?
Yeah, I assume so. I think for the most part, if they're into comedy, but like let's just say like a 19-year-old kid who's like embedded in the TikTok world of comedy and YouTube world, which is fine. That's just what they know because that's what's popular now. I would have a hard time believing you could show them Raw and they wouldn't go, this is whatever. It just isn't the same.
Do you who's the funniest young comedian and not stand-up? Who's the funniest young person that's putting out content like that kids on TikTok and
Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and stuff like that? That's hard. There's a guy that I really think is extremely clever, a guy named Cole Hirsch.
Oh yeah.
You know that guy?
I don't know him, but I know
he is very clever, dude. I think he's very funny. He did this video, people have probably seen it. He would call this community college was having they were saying that their mascot was perhaps needed an update because they don't want to say it's racist.
Yes,
but it was.
It was on a Zoom.
Yeah, it was on a Zoom call.
I saw it.
And he pitched this mascot called Titty Pussy, and it was genuinely one of the greatest. No, don't be. I bought the shirt. It was so good. And he pitched to a community college faculty staff about Titty Pussy as the new woke mascot.
I saw that.
Woke sloppy mean girl. But Cole's one of those guys of a generation of guys that I think are making like cool, clever.
But isn't he a little older? I think I remember him from
Vine. He did Vine.
Yeah.
I guess. I mean, dude, honestly, I don't know how old he is, but I would assume he's in his...
I think he's closer to like...
30?
I think he's closer to 30 than
20. Oh, maybe I don't know. He just looks...
Should we look it up?
Yeah, look it up. He looks so young that I never know anymore. Well, also, when I say young comic, I guess what I think of is a guy that hasn't blown up yet.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Right. Like...
Hirsch age. He's 27.
Okay, that's still pretty young.
It is still pretty young.
I mean, I say that because I'm 37, so I feel like anybody under 30 to me is still on this come up in the young comedy category,
Sure.
But honestly, I see a shitload of stuff online now, but I can't keep up because for me as a comedy fan, I love seeing new comics and new shit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where to go anymore of like, there's so many new groups and so many new things forming and clicks. Like, is there somebody that you follow that's funny to you that you really like?
I have a TikTok. I don't follow anybody on it. But what's nice is like, because the algorithm, you sort of get, because I watch certain ones, so you sort of get those more often. There's this guy that his name's like Drewski Too Funny or something like that on Instagram.
Oh, I think I've seen him.
And he was like in a Drake video. He's kind of blowing up now.
Right.
But he was doing this one, like the first thing I saw, I think he was doing this one where he's like talking about dog people. And he's like, see, you gotta love your puppy. You gotta love your puppy. See, he like it right there. And his like, his ability to do like, to like, sort of appeal to a wide demographic of people is very, very good to me.
Well, that's important. That was always like the if you can do you know who Ed Bassmaster is? Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
Like Ed was the best. He's the best at categorically grabbing. You know, he does like the redneck thing. He also does like the stuck up staunch nerd asshole.
Would you look at that?
Is the fun one of the funniest videos.
Oh my god!
When he's selling a car or he's buying a car.
Buying a car. I mean, sometimes you guys just say, would you look at it? And you just got to look at it.
And the guy at some point goes, yeah, will you look at that? Yeah, look at it. It's great to bait someone into being in your party. Yeah. I think that's a great skill. When it loses me, when there's characters online, people that do character shit online, when it loses me, when it gets like so subversive and weird that you're like, I don't know, man, this is almost, unless there's a format like what Eric Andre does.
Yeah.
As a clear present format that it's shit chaos.
Yeah.
But when someone gets too charactery in public or like does too pranky shit to people, I kind of lose interest because I'm like, I don't know. This guy's just trying to go to the bus.
Can I tell you what I hate? I hate the kids that do the like, they go up to people in like a Walmart and they like go right up behind him and like,
yeah.
It's just like,
it drives me nuts.
If that was me, if that, not me, but if like I was that person, I would go nuts.
I'd like, hit you in the face.
Don't do that. Yeah. Like you're kind of like trying to make people look bad instead of like just being funny.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's my big thing. If you're gonna fuck around in public, you should be the butt of the joke.
Right.
And they should be in it with you.
And when they walk away, they should be like, that dude was nuts.
Right.
You know what I mean? And in a way like where like they were the normal. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't like when they make them look stupid because the best way to win in those situations is for you to look like an idiot. And even if
they're... But also
they're,
be smart because of how big of an idiot you are. Yeah.
And even if they're angry at your stupidity and they look stupid at your anger, it's a duality that works. That like you both look dumb.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
But when it's like, you know, taunting people with the moaning thing. My favorite is always when they go, it's always some like, at some point, there's always some like little dumb suburban white kid that will go to the hood and then go into one of these stores and do some shit and they don't put up with it.
Yeah.
That makes me, when they're like, get the fuck out. That's my favorite shit. Like I I love because it's almost like, well, this dude's willing to get fucking knocked in the head. It's so dumb, but I do want to watch them get hit. There was a kid on TikTok yesterday. I was dying.
Do you remember his name?
No, dude. It was so fast. I scrolled, but he did the, there's a series of these guys that work at convenience stores or at bodegas.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
When he's like, all right, baby.
Hey, baby girl. Baby that was, dude, he goes, all right, sweetheart.
I just saw that.
Half of the people are like, what?
Yeah.
But some people are like, the fuck? Like he's done it to them before.
Yeah.
He goes, cut it out with that shit.
Yeah. or they're like, he's like, all right, here you go, sweetheart. And he's like, all right, thanks. Hey, man.
Hey, man. Oh, no, he's too late, but he's already out.
He's already out the door.
See, there's another dude that does convenience store. Well, there's a girl, I think, that started this trend.
I can't remember her bit, though. It wasn't the same thing.
No. She's in the deep south, and she asks, like, whatever questions, but she invokes them to get angry and clap back at them. But I do think it's a little set up.
Yeah.
It's still fun though, but she'll be like, you think you need cigarettes? You only got three teeth. And then it makes the guy be like, I'll still eat your booty better than your boyfriend. Like it's great, but you're like, whether or not it's a setup, I don't care.
Yeah.
But there's those trends that I really like on, there's also, we're in the TikTok hole. There's also like a group of Indian guys that do like death pranks to each other. Have you seen this?
Are you talking about the ones where they like drop the, I don't know what you're talking about.
With the blood in the water. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't seen that.
It's like it'll be like three of his friends and it'll be like a rushing stream and they're always by like a rushing water source and he'll show the camera red dye in his hand and then he'll pretend to jump. I mean, he'll actually slip in the water and pretend like he fell and got hurt and then he'll let the dye go so it looks like there's blood flowing as he's now going. It's like, 16 miles an hour. I mean, he's already away from them and they go running and then it cuts. And this morning I was on the shitter and I saw the exact same group of guys and their friend is on a bridge and the water goes under the underpass and one of them's upside down with handcuffs around his back and he's face down in the water floating by them down this fast river. And they're like, huh? And then they jump in to go get him.
But they're all doing this to each other all the time?
Yeah. So
it's just always set.
It's either to them or to the people that are around them.
Oh.
Like they don't know if one of their pranks has screwed up or it's them messing with other people around them.
I got you.
I get stuck in holes, dude. My old lady doesn't like it. My old bag, she doesn't like that I get stuck in TikTok holes. Dude, I'll be sitting on there for 2 hours sometimes.
I've tried to really like limit myself and I'll just like try to do it just for a little bit. But I still think the creativity on there is so good. And there's some people that I think are so funny.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, I look at the video and they like have like, whatever, like 10,000 likes, which seems like a lot, but it's not.
It's
like,
not,
compared
compared
to like some of these videos that I think are so dumb getting like 3 million likes. You know what I mean?
Well, let me be honest. I'll say it.
Not to hate on the people that are doing it.
I will. I can do it. I don't get the two girls, the young twins, the D'Amelio kids that are... I mean, they're billionaires now because of it, but I watched it and they're dancers or they maybe were dancers when they were young and that's how they got into it because they got early. But it really did blow my mind of like the lack of creativity and the amount of payoff.
TikTok has really shown me that most people cannot lip sync. That's what I realized from TikTok. It's like, people can't lip sync at all. Very hard. And it's like, it's not like a
very hard
thing.
You can edit it.
Yeah.
You can do it over and over and over. It's not one.
You can do it till you get it right. And it's like a song where it's like jumping out the whatever. And they're like, You look, there's other takes. I know there's other takes, and you decided that was the best.
Right. My favorite is when the N-word comes up and white people cover their mouth or they shush. Yeah, that's my favorite. That is the fun. It's like a teenage girl who's doing this and then the N-word comes up and she's like,
That actually, like, you know, have you seen the thing where it's like, what feels racist but it's not? Like,
that
feels racist but it's
it
not.
Does.
Because you're like, I'll say it later. I'm not going to say it on camera.
I'll say it when they're not around. My dad says it all the time. It's taking like an egregious word and putting like a cute, like the cute Japanese girl thing behind it. It's very funny to me, dude. Also, I thought for a while they were going to stop. There was rumors when they said that they were going to sell the app or that it was going to get banned or whatever.
Yeah.
That they were going to only have edited songs because there's kids that are underage that are on there.
Oh, yeah.
So you can't regulate. Right. There is no like only 18 could hear explicit lyrics, you know?
What's the deal? Like, are artists happy or are they? I'm sure TikToks drive more listeners to their actual songs, but they're not getting listens.
Right. I've had a few people tell me that they...
I don't think it counts as a listen unless you are capable of listening to the whole song. Just made that up.
I think a friend was telling me that the only benefit for songs to be on there is if you're a new artist because it gains traction for your for the outside career.
Right.
But if it's a future song, they don't gain from it at all other than the perpetuation of your name in the media, which I think can help.
Can help.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I saw the other day, somebody tweeted, "It's killed me, dude." You know the 420 dog face. You know that guy?
Yeah.
He was with Snoop Dogg or somebody, and somebody goes, "This poor motherfucker always has to carry around Ocean Spray."
He said, "This motherfucker always got to carry
juice around." Yeah. And the poor dude, he is. It's almost like now it's a prop that somebody hands him, and he's like, "Fine, you know, I have." They can't just take a real photo with Snoop Dogg. He's got to have the juice of the picture.
Yeah.
But that's what an Ocean Spray. This is the dichotomy of the internet that I'm interested in. Of like, at what point, like, as soon as your parents know a word, like when a mom is like on fleek, and you're like, well, that can't be used ever again.
Nope, we can
never have it.
Yeah.
So that's what happens when corporate America gets online. I understand the benefit for both. That guy deserves money, right?
Pay that man.
Right. They gave him a truck and all this shit,
yeah.
Ocean Spray, and they wrote him a check. Dope. Pay him a lot because he made you more relevant.
Yeah.
But now they get to like have ownership of the idea, a little bit of his his brand.
Yeah.
That's when I go, this is when it goes sour.
Yeah.
You know, because they're like, can you imagine an Ocean Spray corporate meeting where they're like, and guess what? 420 dog face is killing it for us.
I don't know if you guys have seen this one. So he's on a skateboard.
Yeah.
And
any skaters in here? Any kids or skaters in here?
Just imagine somebody. But why does he have the whole bottle? Did he not want to pour a cup? Like, you're not getting it.
Denise, can I talk to you for a second? This is what kids are doing. They're taking whole bottles with them
now. It's fleek, Denise.
It's on fleet. The kids are all on fleet.
In here, we pour whiskey.
This episode of Whiskey Ginger is brought to you by Buffalo Trace, baby. Buff Trace is damn good whiskey. I've talked about it before, and you know I love this sauce. I've said it many, many a times. It's the only bourbon with balls since 1773. They've been whooping ass out there in America's pioneer country of Kentucky. They represent the future of bourbon and having the history still instilled in it. They're trying new stuff all the time. Harlan Wheatley over there, the master distiller, is trying out to do new vodka, maybe tequila now. It's really cool to see what they've done. They were named Distillery of the Year in 2020, the San Francisco World Spirits Competition. Some of the best whiskey tasters in America judging these peeps. And I'm telling you, Buff Trace won because they are the best. I've said it before, man. They are delicious sauce. If you can find it near you, they usually sell out quite quickly, but Eagle Rare is their other brand, and Blanton's, as well as Pappy Van Winkle. If you can get your little greedy fingertips on that, make sure you hide it somewhere under the floorboard so people don't know you got it, because it's phenomenal juice. I have promoted them because I do love them very much, and you should go pick yourself up a bottle today made from corn, rye, and barley, baby. It matures twice as long as the regular bourbons, and they're in oak barrels for around 8 years. It's robust. Get yourself some Buffalo Trace. It's distilled, aged, and bottled by Buffalo Trace Distillery, 90 proof, Franklin County, Kentucky. Buffalo Trace, American family-owned and fiercely independent. WiskGinge fans, do you need help throughout the day? I recommend Headspace. Headspace is incredible, a guided meditation app that really gets you where you need to be, up here in the upstairs where it counts and matters. I've been very public about anxiety and depression that I've got and some of the struggles that I have with mental health, and I'm a big supporter of taking care of yourself and making sure you are doing the right thing to keep your brain healthy and happy, because it's very, very important to me, man. Headspace's guided meditation approach to mindfulness can reduce your stress, improve sleep, boost focus, and increase your overall sense of well-being. It's extremely important during these tough times that we pay attention to the things that are ailing us. And truthfully, taking care of your mind is just as important as taking care of your body, man. People forget about that, you know? The Rock came out one day and said he was depressed, and you're like, yeah, man, because you're just lifting weights all day. If you're not focusing on this muscle up here, you're doing yourself a disservice, and you deserve to feel happier. Headspace is a meditation made simple. You know, go to headspace.com/whiskey to find out for yourself how easy it is. 600,000 five-star reviews and over 60 million downloads. So people are doing this. You're not alone on this island, which is good to know. There is help out there for you, and it's for you to help yourself get to a better place. Go to headspace.com/whiskey for a free one-month trial. A free whole month to figure out if you like it or not. Pretty darn good. It's got access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every single situation of your life. It's the best deal offered. I promise you, you will enjoy this, and you need it. You should use it. It's worth it. Go to headspace.com/whiskey today. My whiskey peeps out there, I'm sure once in a while you want to try something a little bit different. Get your hands on some vino, perhaps. The old foot grape. I'm a big fan. I actually do like a night of some wine at the house when I'm not having myself some whiskey. I do very much enjoy it, and I found this great place, Bright Cellars. Bright Cellars is incredible. It's the wine subscription service that helps you find wines you love while making wine more accessible to everybody. Look, I was a skeptic of this stuff, just like everybody else, a subscription service, whatever. Who knows if the stuff's even going to be good? But I got to tell you, I was very surprised. I went online. You take a quiz. You really take a little survey more than anything. They're not going to get graded on it, although they might. They might tell you that your taste choice is very terrible, but no, that you take a little survey and you tell them what you like the most, and it's based on simple things. You know, you like white chocolate or dark chocolate or milk chocolate more? Do you enjoy going out to have drinks, or are you more of a stay-at-home person? You know, do you prefer white wine over red wine? What do you usually pair wines with? All this stuff is very simple and easy to answer. I mean, even someone as dumb as me could do it, and I did. And it basically compiles the best package for you based on what they think your taste notes might enjoy. Now listen, I don't know a lot about wine. I look at the pictures, okay? I go to the store, I look at a photo, and I go, I like that old house. I like that little bird. I'm going to buy it. But in this instance, it's totally worth it, because they choose what you've given them the ability to choose, right? They basically just pair you with things that they know you might really enjoy. And I got to tell you, it was great with great varieties that they had. I was really into it. It's a great way to experience new wines at home, give recommendations at parties, food planning. It's a unique experience that you get to learn about the wine, because I'm not a smart man when it comes to that stuff, while also enjoying brand new wines in the comfort of your own home. And Bright Cellars delivers to your door. How convenient, how easy. You don't got to leave, all right? It's very simple. For Whiskey Ginger listeners, we're giving you a 50% off your first 6-bottle orders of Bright Cellar. That's incredible. You're half off of the first 6 bottles that get to your front door by going to brightcellars.com/whiskey. That's brightcellars, CELLARS.com/whiskey. brightcellars.com/whiskey. You can take their 7-question quiz, survey, whatever you want to call it, to get your wine matches and receive 50% off your first 6-bottle order. Go to brightcellars.com/whiskey right now.
Ginger. I like gingers.
That's when I get lost, when it gets so corporate that it,
yeah.
Then it,
yeah.
Then I think like it tears away from some of the fun. Like now I've lost all my internet fun with Instagram, because I'm not kidding. Every 3 photos is a fucking ad, or yeah. It's a new update about we've changed our terms, yeah. Or we've added some shit. Now it's going to be, I can't wait for the new thing to come out.
Are you very active on Twitter?
No, dude, actually the opposite. Yeah, Instagram, I used to be the most, and now I've actually calmed down too, because I'm just over it. And Twitter, barely.
You saw how they just did stories?
I did see it just released.
This might be like too late to talk about it. This was like 3 days ago, so we might be late to the party. But
no, we're on time.
I'm just so confused at where I'm supposed to put things.
Yeah, no, right.
I'm so bad at stories. Like I never, throughout my day, I never think, should story that.
This is a story. You know this could have been a story moment.
And, but I also like enjoy when people post, like I have friends who post good stories and I watch them and I'm like, that's cool. But I just don't have that brain
to
be able to do it. And I'm like partly jealous, but I also like, there's so many different avenues for it.
I'm not, dude, honestly, I used to get jealous about it. And at some point I gave up because I was like, it's not a skill I possess. I've tried. It's not a skill I possess. Like I can be funny when I want it to be funny, but also sometimes I'm walking my dog and I don't want to put up a story.
Right.
Like I want to go home and I have shit to do and stuff to, some people have the click over. There was a mom, one of these moms that makes me mad and I'm not, it's like, why? But like when they're like, show us your daily routine. It's like, wake up at 5, work out at 6. Yeah. The kids, I make coffee, I do my hair, and I journal, and then I do yoga again. The kids are up at 7:30, they go to school. Then I take time to meditate, do yoga, a gratitude journal, go help old handicapped people out. And it's like, they do 50,000 things, and they're like, 10 p.m., time to read a book, do another gratitude, and look, good for these people that have the mindset to like post stuff and be constantly involved. But also fuck them too.
Yeah.
Like cut it out.
I don't.
Stop making me feel bad.
And here's my problem too is like if I was going to do that, it would take me so long because I would like, I got to do the wake up one. So, I'm just going to kid. You know what I mean? Like for real, I would. I'd be like.
Okay, in bed, pretending to just wake up.
And I'm like, that was stupid. Don't smile. No one smiles. You know what I mean? It would take.
What's up, world? Just wiping the sweat out my eyes.
I got some sweat. It would take me so long. So like, is it worth it to me? No. But I also like sometimes I see like some that are like the day in the life of a D1 college athlete. And I'm like, that's kind of cool because it is kind of like a look at like what it was like. But like, I just can't.
Is there someone in the league that does it like day in the life story type shit that's actually good?
I don't know.
Yeah, you don't follow.
Think so.
You don't follow like, anybody in the league.
No, I don't. I actually not friends with a single person.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Honestly?
I like to separate business and pleasure. Or, you know.
Yeah.
Once I walk off that court, don't talk to me.
But the court is pleasure and life is business.
Yeah, life is
correct.
Business.
That makes the most sense to me. Well, I get it. There's comics that I'm jealous of and I don't want to follow them because they're good at Instagram. Like they're good and it annoys me. So I'm like, I don't want to follow this guy. I'm going to see him doing funny shit and cool shit all the time.
Who is that person?
I have to call him out on my own podcast.
No, don't do that.
No, I will.
No,
the biggest piece of shit on Instagram. No.
Just somebody who like puts out great stuff on Instagram all the time.
Well, there's guys that know how to post very well too, right? Like Segura posts constantly funny clips from their show or conversations or that he's so good. It's fucking annoying.
I met him by the way the other day at a steakhouse.
He probably lives at a steakhouse.
Yeah.
He probably lives above one. He does always have nice jackets,
jacket
dude.
On.
They're making good money over there at your mom's house, and they're spending it all on jackets.
Just realized I forgot to text him back. Tom, I'll get back to you.
Honestly, don't. He doesn't deserve it.
No, Tom. Sorry, brother.
You know what's so funny? Let's FaceTime him real fast just to tell him that you're here and that you had no intention.
He asked me to respond. Damn it.
No, you're fine. This is going to be good. I feel like this is a bonding moment that we need to have. We'll FaceTime Segura. He won't pick up. He's never picked up a FaceTime. Some guys don't FaceTime.
I FaceTime almost exclusively.
I know.
It's the best. You know how much we FaceTime.
Why do black people love FaceTiming so much? He did. Oh, hey!
Tom, I was just telling a story and I go, oh my God, I forgot to hit Tom back.
Yeah, what's up, dude?
I'm sorry. I completely forgot. Here's what actually happened. I got the new iPhone 12 Max and I was changing over all my stuff and I forgot to get back to a lot of people. But I will text you.
So do you want to hear the real truth is that he came on my show. Here he is on Whiskey Ginger, and he goes, I love your show. I just don't know if I want to do Tom's stuff because his brand of humor is a little too rated R for me.
That's bullshit. That's fucking bullshit.
That's what he said. Tom, put your glasses back on. Don't do the glasses throw just because you're upset.
Because I'm in a McLaren, I can't fucking...
Show me that sexy car. Show me that sexy McLaren.
The new 765 LT, come on.
God, bro. You're such a... Okay, you know what? Well, Blake only likes to come on podcasts with guys that are driving Nissans.
I got a fucking Supermax deal too, man. It's all good.
Tom, I'll text you right
He's
after
He's going to text you back.
All right.
Hey. Tom, I love you, okay? Say bye to my fans.
Bye, fans.
Bye. Bye, dude. Bye. He's the fucking, he's the best. He's I can't believe he really threw the McLaren thing in my face. He knows that I love cars, and it's really annoying because sometimes I text him and I see phenomenal shit he gets to drive, and I'm very jealous.
That's like crazy.
The brand new McLaren? This guy is popping off.
Is he just like, does he buy a lot of cars? Or is he like,
he does have a lot of cars. He's a car collector, but also people love to like let him test cars and drive cars and stuff. I want to get to that place when they let me have stuff, but with my luck, it'll be something I don't care about, you know?
It'll hey, man, Kia's coming out with a new a new Soul. It's an orange Soul, so we figured...
You like the Nissan Cube? Because we're willing to have you tour around town in one. There's definitely one fan in the comments right now. I drive a Nissan Cube!
Oh, sorry.
I drive a Soul! Yeah. No, you know what? That's your fault! It's almost like when I see people driving a PT Cruiser... I get so mad that you bought that car.
I'm more, I get that. I'm more mad about the Kia Soul.
Why?
Because it always, does it only come in lime green?
Yeah, it's the, it is.
It's like, it's gross. I get it. If that's your thing and you're like, hey, I like that, drive it.
Right.
But like, why? I only see it in nuts color. You don't see a black Kia Soul with
doesn't
like
exist.
Tinted window. No. If you try orange. To go tint a Kia Soul, they just get the fuck out of here.
Can you imagine the tint guy's like, what do you want me to do with, you want me to like cut it in half or something? No, tint the windows. Yeah, I guess. I mean, I get why you don't want people to see you in this car, so maybe we'll...
You're driving a fishbowl, so why tint it?
Let it be a fishbowl. Let's jump backwards real fast about a comment that I made that could be misconstrued as racist, but I'm going to stick to it.
Okay.
Every one of my black friends loves FaceTime. Why? Why do black people like FaceTime so much more than white people?
I don't... To me, it's a younger, older thing.
No.
Oh,
no.
See, I don't...
All of my black friends, they could be 50 years old. My buddy EP will FaceTime me. He's 50. I don't know any... It is a... To me, it is a cultural thing that white people are nervous about being on camera, so they don't like the way they look.
Yeah.
I could...
Okay, here's the thing.
And the reason Tom answered is because you know he is half black.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, and that's the reason
Segura.
He answered. Segura is traditionally a...
Afro-American.
It's an African...
Name,
African...
Yeah.
Africanus.
Haitian?
I think it's Haitian.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's from the island.
Yeah. A lot of people... Somebody put that I'm Haitian on my Wikipedia page. I'm not. And now so many Haitians come up to me and they're like, Pakam Siaka, or whatever. I should know it. I'm
sock'em
sorry.
Sock'em.
Sock'em boppers. They say sock'em boppers. And I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm not Haitian. And they're like, oh, all right, man.
But we made these shirts. Ah, fuck, I guess.
It's send them with the championship team that lost.
Maybe it is an age thing. For some reason, I'm not comfortable on FaceTime ever with almost anybody because I just am like, I don't know why you want to see me. That's how I feel when someone FaceTime me. I always text them.
I FaceTime all my friends. My friends FaceTime me, black, white, doesn't matter.
Yeah, but you're trying to be political because you have black and white friends. I don't like to associate anybody who isn't white. That's my biggest thing.
Yeah. So, you know,
so when a black contact in my phone FaceTimes me, I get nervous.
Yeah.
I say, what are you
what
doing? What happened, pal?
Yeah. You don't even say hello. You're just like,
what is it?
Tell me.
How much?
Fuck.
Tell me how much. What can I do? Oh, dude, I started watching a new show last night that I just can't get enough of. It's called 60 Days In. Do you know what this is?
No.
Oh, my God.
What?
People volunteer to go to jail as informants for 60 days.
I saw Netflix?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw.
Netflix. It was Netflix. They're all, my TV, I don't know what it is anymore.
I was scrolling through and I saw that.
It's a comedy and it's not supposed to be.
Right.
It's just how funny. Why would you want to go infiltrate a jail to learn the ins and outs?
Okay, so you watched it. Does it feel real?
No, I mean, everything today also feels overproduced. That's my biggest beef is like, as someone that's worked in TV, my radar goes up of going, this is a thing they set up for the thing. But honestly, what can you do that's real anymore? Because as soon as people are aware of cameras or aware of filming, you know, there's studies about the way people change, the way they speak, the way they talk because of the consciousness of a camera.
Posture, everything.
Everything. And now that we know our generation is surrounded by cameras, I think that like it's become second nature to have a second personality with a camera, and it's totally acceptable. So I don't even know what real is anymore when I watch like reality TV.
Yeah.
When someone's like, it's fake. And you're like, yeah, but it's real for how fake it is, right?
I think we're slowly getting to a place where, like, at some point, someone 24/7, or at least while they're awake, will be, it will be a show,
right?
Live,
like a Truman Show.
Yes, it'll be. We will get. Think it started out as like the Cosby Show.
Yeah,
it's a show.
Your favorite comedian
about his life,
right?
One of the greatest.
One of the greatest of all time. Bad comedian, good character. That's what we say.
Right. Yeah. Decent comedian.
Decent comedian, great guy.
Great guy.
But it's a show about his life.
The show is based on morals. No, it is. It's a show about his life.
Right.
And then you go to like somebody else who has a show that's like more about his life, like a Larry David type of show.
Sure.
I mean, I'm sorry, a Curb Your Enthusiasm type of show.
Right.
Or then you go to like the actual reality shows.
Louis. Oh, you mean to the real reality.
Right? And then you start going to like the reality shows.
Right.
And then now it's like what we were talking about, like on TikTok, you're showing every part of your day or stories. People are constantly getting content of their day. And
right.
It's slowly going to get to a point where it's just like your life, your every waking moment is just.
I know there's a, maybe it was a Black Mirror episode. Is that what it was? What show was it?
Where people
signed off on cameras following them 24 hours a day, and like they have it's like a thing to do. It's like you're part of a program. I think that was Black Mirror, where they had set in their room when they woke up and when they go to work, and they have to check in with the camera once in a while and like tell them how they're doing, because it
like
also
a confessional
is
type
right.
of thing. Yeah,
but I do believe that's real close. Like I really do. And you know,
try it for a week. One of these people should try it for a week. Once you wake up, the TV show starts. When you go to bed, TV show ends. But like, camera stays in there until you fall asleep.
God, I'd be such a weird thing to. I wake up at 3:30 to piss every single night. Do you wake up to pee?
Yeah, 5 a.m.
5 is your number.
Yeah.
How old are you now?
31.
Damn, dude, isn't that crazy? For some reason, I crux 30, and then ever since, I wake up to piss at night. I never used to do that, dude.
I drink a lot of water.
Me too.
Oh, nice.
But I also drink a lot of alcohol. But I literally could have, I don't know what it was. And by the way, water does spot, one of Blake's big sponsors we should shout out is water.
Water,
you can get it almost anywhere really nowadays, huh?
A while back I signed with H2O, and then they put me into like the water.
Here
category.
You are, you're bragging again. It's so annoying when you bring stuff like that into my world of like, you know, I get it, dude, you're successful. You don't need to brag about having a water
context.
Contract.
I wanted to give context.
Well, it's a little rude. Who was that guy that wanted to buy water? What was that dude? Remember that guy? He wanted to buy all the world's water.
No,
it was like a CEO of some major company, and he was trying to buy, like, own the water. Which
all
guy
water.
Was trying to buy the world's water? Yeah, he was trying to buy like have rights to buy T Boone Pickens, billionaire T Boone.
Oh yeah, Oklahoma
listen to
guy.
That name,
Oklahoma guy.
Oh, you know T Boone?
Oh, I don't know him personally. He's like a huge Oklahoma State sponsor. The stadium. He's that
he
oil own, guy.
He
oil
owns
guy.
Owns more. He's what?
An oil guy, right?
Yeah, he owns more water rights than any other individual in America, with rights over enough of the Ogallala Aquifer,
Ogallala,
to drain approximately 200,000 acre feet, 65 billion gallons of water a year. This guy owns the water, and he wants to own all the water. He wants to buy all
he
the
wants
world's
to buy
water.
More water.
That's T Boone Pickens.
Only you can only do something like that if your name is
T Boone
Pickens. T Boone Pickens.
Can we? I mean, look again. Remember that thing we said? It's not racist, but it sounds like it.
Yeah.
T Boone Pickens. I mean, what does he look like? Let me guess. Fat white guy.
I don't think he's
fat. Old
is
white
he fat?
Guy. Well, I mean, aren't they all fat at some point?
Yeah.
I mean, he was fat. Let's say this: he's too old to be fat now.
Yeah.
Now he's 91. Oh, he died. Oh, dude, he died. All right. He died. Last year on 9/11.
Wow, RIP. I'm sorry,
dude. Unreal though. That he's trying to take. Like, imagine the nerve to die on 9/11. Like, it's your day,
yeah.
T Boone. You got a lot of the Pickens family. Rest in peace to T Boone, Grandpa Papa T Boone. His net worth wasn't that much. It was only $500 million.
Really?
And he was married six times. Me too.
Six times.
One, two, three, four, five. Oh, five. Sorry, five times. And of course, you know some of his wives: Lynn O'Brien, Patrice Carr, Nelda Kane.
Patrice. Yeah.
Yeah, Madeline Paulson.
Madeline, of course.
And of course, Tony Brinker, which was also that was everybody's favorite.
Yeah, I wasn't as big on Tony.
Why? Patrice, what's wrong? Just the behavior.
The drugs.
Yeah, the drug use got out of
the
control.
Huge. Yeah. She.
I like this. This clip goes viral. Like. Blake Griffin, Andrew Santino revealed to Tony Baker's, Tony Binner's, whatever her name is, drug use. The family comes out. They're like, look, we have to address it now. These guys heard about it. They were a big.
I did not. He did family. But in all seriousness, he did a lot of great stuff for University of Oklahoma and Oklahoma.
Did he really?
Yeah, he's like a huge donor.
T. Boone Pickens, the guy who owns the Water World.
Oklahoma State's football stadium is. I'm pretty sure it's T. Boone Pickens
Stadium.
Yeah.
But he didn't pick favorites, huh? So he did Oklahoma and Oklahoma State?
No, just Oklahoma State.
Oh, okay.
I just know that I'm Oklahoma guy.
I know that. I was just saying, you don't like because, Oklahoma State. Do you still have that thing? Like, do you still have that college thing in you at all?
No. I mean, so football is huge in Oklahoma. I love watching Oklahoma football, obviously basketball, but it's just not, it doesn't quite mean, like growing up, it was like Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. It's like called Bedlam,
right?
And like it's a thing, but like as you kind of get separated from it,
some people hold on to it, dude. It's I like I have zero. I mean, also I went to Arizona State, you know, the home of herpes. It's there's no affinity at all. Like there, none of my friends.
Are you still close with herpes?
We stayed in contact, but we don't talk as much as we used to.
Sometimes you just go.
He'll pop up
ways.
Once in a while and come back into my life. And I got to tell you, when he is, it's nice to reconnect and reflect.
It's almost like he never left when he's back.
Yeah.
You guys just pick up right
back
up.
Yeah.
That's a sign of like good friendship.
Yeah, we're just buds. You know what I mean? And we met so unexpectedly, which was the real big thing. I would have never known.
Met through a friend.
A friend of a friend, actually. A really close friend of a friend.
That's nice.
And we're no longer friends, oddly enough. Yeah. I'm closer with herpes now than I was with my friend of a friend.
That's how it always happens.
100%. Newsflash, I don't have herpes. Okay.
That's
coughs and cries.
That's actually
No, but I have no affinity to my college whatsoever. Like I and no offense if this is your vibe, but like whenever I was at the airport traveling for shows, you know, there's always the traveling businessmen that you see constantly at the airport with. They all have the same. It's the same uniform. It's nice jeans or slacks of some kind, mm-hmm. and a tucked in polo with their college team on it. And I'm not hating on you, but it's fucking stupid. It looks awful. Cut it out. You can't. First of all, you only tuck in a golf polo when you're golfing. Otherwise, you don't tuck in a golf polo.
Yeah.
But they always have their college logo. But this guy's 58, and he's still got the Oregon State. You know, or it'll just say Beavers, and you're like, you're 58.
See, I'm from a before the Oklahoma City Thunder got to Oklahoma in 2008.
Before they were stolen.
Yeah.
Before they were jacked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all Oklahoma State or Oklahoma.
Right.
And everybody, and I love Oklahoma.
Totally.
But I just when I'm not like in it every day, it's like, it's not quite the same.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I still love Oklahoma football. Like I love it. And like the thing is about when I came out here to LA, when I got drafted, it was like USC was big at the time. And I was like, oh, it's going to be interesting to see nothing. Because all people talk about from like July, even spring, it's all Oklahoma football.
That's
wild. You know, I know everything about the team just by just being there. I don't have to like research it.
Right.
I know the quarterback, the race for who's going to be starting quarterback. I know the new freshman who's a stud. You know what I mean?
That doesn't happen out here.
No.
It's a schedule of when Coachella happens to... Yeah.
People don't really care. Like, there's good sports fans here, but people just don't... There's so much going on.
It's too busy of a city, but it's also got... We're also young in terms of a city, right? Like New York and Chicago, where I'm from. It's like so much history.
Yeah.
And here... You know, the team history of everything is so all over the place. Yeah. The Dodgers came in the middle of the night from Brooklyn.
That's why the Lakers are so big. They have such a rich history, and they're just like, that's LA's team.
It helps that they were fucking dominatory. I mean, like,
that's what I mean.
If LA had a team that wasn't good, I mean, it would just be another. I mean, look, no hate, but the Chargers really do make me sad. That it's like, look at this little team that they kicked around. San Diego was like, go away. And LA got him. And LA was like, oh, man, I don't, you know, I guess you can, you know what I mean? That's like, come on. It's so weird.
Hey, Rams, make some room.
And the
Chargers
are
going to come.
No, why? This is our room. Mom! That's exactly what it's like.
Were the Rams here first? What happened? How did that happen? Wasn't it like bang, bang?
Well, it went. Well, you know, it went Rams, then they left, then they came back.
Right. I'm saying when they both came back just recently.
Rams first, yes, and then Rams, the Chargers thereafter. Yeah, the Chargers was they didn't want to build them a stadium in San Diego. They wanted to build them a new stadium,
rightfully so.
Also, San Diego's not a big enough city. It's crazy that they have a baseball team and a football team at one point, because I was like, this isn't like a major... it is a major metro, but it's just a sprawling suburb.
Yeah.
Like downtown San Diego, the gas lamp or whatever, it's basically where Comic-Con happens and where college kids black out. But yeah. I guess that's most places, like Austin, Texas, is the same way. That's who I thought of. I thought of Matthew McConaughey when I said guys that are still connected so close with their colleges.
Yeah.
He shows up to every game.
Yeah.
And I shit on him today on Twitter because there was an article that was like, not on him, I was just making a joke, but it was like Matthew McConaughey said before the pandemic he was planning a stand-up tour.
Wow, really?
Before COVID, it says before COVID-19 hit, he was planning a stand-up tour, and I tweeted, stop the vaccine now. Let's not have that be a thing that exists. Come on. No, good. But you know, I don't have any hate for the guy, but it's just like, I don't know. To me, and you know this, this is something that you obviously had a gripe with, the people being like, comics being like, oh, Blake gets to come into the comedy world. But the real truth was, what I learned, what everyone learns, is when they get to know you, and they see you, and they know that you love comedy, they have a passion for it, that you're actually someone that like is involved in the world, the level of respect, I think, goes through the roof. So the issue is getting over the barrier of initial judgment that people always have when they're like, well, what does this guy get to do?
Yeah, see, my whole approach with comedy, like, I would never, people are always like, he's a comedian. I never say, like, I'm never, like, I'm a comedian. I'm not. I love comedy, and I got an opportunity to do it. And now, if I ever do it, it's because I'm hosting a show and I get to give other comedians an opportunity.
A platform.
Yeah. And I'm not saying because like I have, like just getting somebody in front of eyes. And also my, like I do a charity event every year. It's a stand-up comedy show. And I have five comedians come and I love it because I get to, I brought a kid, Ron Taylor from Detroit.
Yeah, I know Ron.
He opened the show and people like loved him. And it's like, it makes me feel good that I'm able to like sort of like introduce a new audience who probably doesn't go to comedy shows a lot because it's sort of like the charity event show.
You open the door.
Yeah. Well, sort of. Like, that's my only role is involved in comedy. I don't want to go show up to like the Laugh Factory and take someone's time. Like I was preparing for the roast and anytime I went and like did like a thing, I was like, please, I don't want to bump anybody.
Right.
I just want to go see if I can like work on these jokes for a little
bit. You're too good of a guy.
Because I don't want to, I totally get that. If you're a comedian, you've been, like Ron Taylor's talking about, he was living in a van. Like so many comedians have that same story.
Yeah.
They're grinding. They're going to open mics. They're getting booed off stage. They're just bombing. And it's part of like the, it's part of just how you become a good comedian.
It's part of what makes you good. I mean, I'm old enough now where I used to be more gritty about that whole, like the pridefulness of being a comic and like, you don't get to just step in here, Jeremy Piven. But the truth is, to me now, it's like, I've stopped giving as much of a fuck about that stuff because it's like, the idea of them jumping the line is kind of a misnomer. It really isn't true because, you know, you really have to have a passion to continue it, right? Jeremy Piven did jump into it like 2 years ago and he did skip the line, so to speak, whatever that fucking means, using the fame to get in front of people. But that doesn't, to young comics, that doesn't mean A, he's taking your spot because he's not, I promise.
Right.
And B, his audience is dramatically different from the people that are going to come see you. Yeah. So that's a thing that I give to young comics that I'm like, I know you can hate these things, but truth be told, A, they won't last. I promise they don't last. Mm-hmm. And B, if they do, well, fucking props. Like to me, it's like if someone can kind of last through that thing, then I kind of go, well, shit, maybe they are dedicated.
Yeah.
You know, like guys were giving Steve-O beef because Steve-O jumped into stand-up. Mm-hmm. You know, but Steve-O's been grinding.
Yeah.
And I know it's a hard thing for people to get over, but at some point you got to realize maybe this is their passion. They just got into it at a different time than you did. But it's just stand-ups are so fucking prideful of living in our van and me being, you know, me making $20 a week and trying to survive. And at some point you just realize the cream is going to rise.
Yeah.
So if whoever jumps the line is trash, it's never going to work out.
Right.
You know?
It is hard. It is so hard. Like I always try to tell my friends like, you don't understand how hard it is to just come up with 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And 10 minutes is so long.
Yeah.
It's so much, like, not for you, but for me to, like,
no,
go,
it's
when
a long
I open my chair, when I open my charity show, I would try to do like 10 minutes, you know, like, cause it's my show. Like,
right.
I have to, like, do something. And it's just like, I mean, I have help, you know, I'll send stuff to, like, my friends here and there, but it's still like, I don't think people appreciate enough how hard it is.
Well, here's an example. Anybody who's at home right now doing business Zoom meetings, try to have you and your coworkers do 10 minutes of comedy and let them, everyone just watches one Zoom square and see how well that fucking works out. It's proof be told that, like, you know, we're on a we're on a Zoom health and safety meeting for the FX show that I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And even then, someone will try to make one joke who's just like a crew person or, you know, a corporate person. Yeah. And everyone's like, what? And they're like, fuck. And there's, you know what I mean? And that's one joke in front of strangers. And you're like, see? And I, every time I want to go, see? Yeah. Don't do that. Don't try to be funny in the Zoom.
The Zoom meetings are great because a lot of times, like, if I'm not talking, I'm mute.
Yeah, me too. I mute and I turn camera off.
And so, like, we'll be doing something. Somebody will make a joke and I start to laugh and I'm like, oh, I'm on mute. So I just go,
You have to pretend.
Yeah,
funny, very funny. Dude, I got on this health and safety meeting, and you know how when you get invited to one, I forgot to change my name. Like, if I make one, I had changed my name as a joke with other friends before, and it was Blumpkin. And I'm in a health and safety meeting, and my name is Blumpkin.
For, like, with corporate.
Like, yeah, and I was like, oh, my fucking God. HR, and so my buddy Mike texted me. He's like, are you Blumpkin? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, way to go, bud. Like, with Disney corporate. I'm with, like, Disney executives who are like, make sure we're conscious about the way. Oh, my God. You know what this was? No, dude, this was the health and safety meeting and the sexual harassment meeting that you have to do every year when you do these. Yeah. So, of course, the sexual harassment guy is like, what are some inappropriate things to say to someone at the office? Blumpkin is my fucking name.
I have one. I have actually one.
I'm pointing down to my... These things are really weird. They legally have to give you a health and safety and a sexual harassment meeting before you start a TV show. And without fail, and I'm not, no disrespect, but there's always a couple of crew guys... most people just shut the fuck up and you take it and you go, thank you, we understand. Yeah. Like,
no questions.
There's always just a couple of crew guys, a couple of grips, or someone that go, what if I'm flirting with someone and she's into it? You know? And of course, the sexual harassment guy is like, we are trying to encourage keeping a safe and healthy workplace where there is no sexual miscommunication. So perhaps that should be safe for outside of the work. And then, of course, another guy pipes up who works with, you know, who's like a buddy of his that's like, okay, but if a girl pinches my butt, that's okay? It's like, oh, fuck you guys. We just want to get out of this meeting. It's every time, without fail, dude, every show I've ever done has someone that argues. And when I was in person, before the pandemic, you would sit in a room, and I used to do the thing where you turn, you know, the like a dad where you're like,
yeah,
you know, that, like, come on, man, like, can we fucking get off? I want to leave.
Give them the look of disappointment.
Yeah, we want to go. But now, you know, now the Zoom thing is great because I mute and I was golfing. I was actually golfing. I just muted, put the video off, and I was golfing the whole time, which is the new world. We have to go golfing. We're gonna go golfing soon. What do you shoot?
Bad. I'm bad.
Yeah, but bad is still good.
I think I'm okay enough to, like, not have a bad time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, you know how to do everything the right way. It's not coming together yet.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're going to go.
Like, at least I'll take some lessons, man.
Well, you know what we're going to do? You know about this. I want to tell you this before. We're doing a Comedian's Cup.
Oh, God.
Bert Kreischer set it up.
Oh, really?
You should come along and do something with it.
When is it?
Gotta be next year sometime.
It's probably gonna be
shutting down the thing.
Who knows?
Oh, what, will you be playing basketball?
Yeah, dude.
You don't think you want to take some time off?
I'll be pleasure seeking.
All right. Well, look, the season's coming up, and good luck with the hoop shoots. It's great. You know how to put the orange thing in the cylindrical.
Mm-hmm.
And one quick question for you, tough guy: how many basketballs can fit into the hoop at one time?
Upwards of 5.
I think it's 6, actually.
Yeah, it might be.
6.
You got to measure the circumference. No, honestly, I just, like, my pride won't let me. It's 2.
It is. He knows.
If you angle it in the right.
That's exactly right.
You get it in there, it's 2.
You heard it here first. Blake Griffin knows how many balls can fit in his holes. Guys, I'm going to end the episode the same way we always do. I'm going to walk off camera. You look in the camera and say one word or one phrase. That's going to end the episode whenever you want, whatever you want. Go ahead.
Blumpkin.
In here. We pour whisk.
You are that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy and ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey and $75 for the horse.
Gingers, oh hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
Ginger.
I like gingers.